Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you, worship team, for always doing such a great job leading us in worship. And today was definitely beautiful and inspiring. I hope you was inspired by the music this morning. And let that inspiration carry right into the message. Amen. What a joy it is to have a baptism. And at the end of the service, before you sneak out, we're going to be introducing a new member to our church. Not Seth, he's already a member, but another young man. So I'm excited about that as well. We're in week 6, and the title of the message this week is God Speaks to Us by His Holy Spirit. Now, this is a carryover from last week. Last week, we talked about knowing how and when God speaks. And we kind of got into the fact that He does it through the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna spend a little more time in that reality this morning. And we're going to start with a memory verse. Now, I sat down in my office this morning and I handwrote that thing 8 times. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get up here and you're supposed to quote it in front of people, it's very difficult to do. So I know it by heart. I'm going to try it, and y'all go with me. John 5:19. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you," help me, what? "For whatever the Father does," Y'all got it. Next week, I want a volunteer to come up here and do that for me because I want somebody else to experience how difficult that is. I just freeze up. I guess it's the mic, you know. If you mess up, it's amplified. But y'all did so good. Let me read our memory verse. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things." And so that sort of gives us a pattern that we're to always be watching for what the Father's doing and do those things. Now, I want to commend you for reaching the halfway point of experiencing God. It's not been easy, I don't imagine. It's a lot of studying, a lot of work, and I can't believe it's going by so quick. I mean, already 6 weeks gone, we got 6 weeks to go. And I pray that we're all experiencing some kind of dramatic growth. I pray that you're experiencing a growth in your life because of this. And you know, we're at the heart of the study now. And the next 3 weeks are going to be the most challenging of the study. So I'm just telling you so you can strap in and get ready for that. Next week, we're going to be studying the crisis of belief, which is where God says, "I'm going to do something," and you're going to go, "You're going to do what?" You know, and you kind of have that crisis. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking about adjusting our life to God. That's one of the hardest things for anybody to do. To say, "Okay, this life is not my own. I'll adjust to you, God." And then the week after that is choosing obedience. Once again, very challenging. So the most challenging parts are coming up. But these are the 3 weeks that you can grow the most in your walk with the Lord. So I really encourage you to see it that way. And I want us to just go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to pray that we're not just hearing this, that we're not just kind of working through it and doing the study and forgetting it, but I just want to pray that we can make these truths the guiding force in our life. So let's pray like that now. Heavenly Father, here we are at the halfway point of experiencing God. It's been so good, it's been so rich, and it's going to get even better. It's going to become more challenging. Lord, you're molding us and you're making us into the followers, the disciples that you want us to be. Father, help us to not just talk a good talk, but help us to walk the walk as it's been laid out before us. Help us to commit ourselves to realizing that this world is not our home, that heaven is our home, and we're pilgrims in this world, and you call us to be witnesses in this place, and we're to shine our light, we're to be salt, And we're to work for the kingdom. We're to watch where you're working and get involved in the work. Help us to do that, Lord, I pray, for the sake of this church and every individual in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Now for a lot of Christians, I think you struggle with that. I think you got to be careful not to be living in the spirit of the world, especially during times of politics. Be careful. Be careful with that. But the world will guide us in one way, and it says we've not received that as believers, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us, that is our schoolmaster, is the one that explains this word to us, is the one that fills us, and we feel His presence, and we're inspired and energized by that. And God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Those are the four things we're going to look at today. And He does it to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. So He speaks through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Actually, the Bible and prayer was week five. Y'all studied that in week five. But it just seemed to make more sense to me to put the four together. They kind of fit together. And to look at these four things in week six as to how the Holy Spirit speaks to us through each one. However, I'm going to change the order of them. I'm going to save circumstances until last today, because I feel like maybe that's the one that we most need to focus on, because we all face challenging circumstances. And I really want to spend some time there. But let's begin with God speaks through the Bible. You know, the Bible is the very Word of God. It's God's complete revelation of Himself to all humanity. I get so weary with people arguing about the accuracy of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, as if God can't preserve His Word. And I always take them to Psalm 6, 11 and 12, where it says that He keeps His Word. He preserves His Word from now forever. Listen, I believe in a God that can make it so easy for us to know Him that He can actually work through 40 different authors on three different continents over a period of 1,500 years to write such a book as this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He does it because He says, "I don't want you wondering. I don't want you having to guess. I don't want you trying to figure it out. I'm just going to write it all in a book for you." And I'm so thankful that He did. And I love this book. I love it. I'm in it every day. I hope that you are too. The Bible. God speaks through the Bible. So how exactly does God speak through His Word? Well, I want to share a few ideas with you. First, God speaks by our reading and meditating on the Word. How can He speak if we're not reading and meditating on the Word? I mean, it all begins there. Everything about experiencing God, this whole study we're going through, that's step one. Are you reading and meditating on God's Word? Secondly, as we read and meditate, the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth and will for the time. Now, I want you to get that, for the time. In other words, what I was reading this last week, every day as I'd get alone in my quiet time and I'd read God's Word, He was speaking to me about what's going on in my life right now. And I can come back to those same passages in a year from now, and the Holy Spirit will be speaking differently. Why? Because things are different in a year from now. That's why you never quit opening it. That's why you never quit reading it, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you through it to reveal God Himself, His purposes, and His ways. And so it has to become a consistent part of our life. We can't just read through the Bible and say, "They're done, put it on the shelf, let it collect dust." We can't do that. We have to keep getting in it and keep listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us through it. As we read and meditate, the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth and will for today, for this time. I can go back through my journals over the years and I can open up to the same passage of Psalms, and each time it'll be something totally different that God spoke to me about. So you got to stay in God's Word. When the Holy Spirit reveals God's will, we must adjust our life. Now, we're going to get in depth about that in 2 weeks, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But just know when the Holy Spirit speaks and He shows you what God's doing, you have to adjust. Can I tell you something? God's not going to adjust. He knows what He's doing. We have to adjust to Him. And I just encourage you this way. The reason I got so many journals on my shelf is that when the Holy Spirit speaks, you need to write it down, especially when He's telling you to do something. I mean, an action is not an action until you write it down. So you got to take that first action to write it down. Oftentimes, I'll be reading the Word. I might have it open here at the office, and I'll go, oh, I got God's just speaking to my heart. I got to remember that. I'll send myself an email so that I'll see it when I get home that night and put it in my journal. I'll send myself an email. So we have to adjust our life. And then as we listen to God speak, then we adjust and obey. We will experience God. We will. As a matter of fact, I left it. Let me get this. I want to just read you something real quick out of my journal. And it's from January 1st, 2001. Now, that's a significant date for me because I had just, this was my first day not being an employee for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And I want to just read to you what I wrote. And the reason I'm doing this, I want to show you how the Holy Spirit spoke through the Word. Listen to this. January 1st, 2021. Today is the first day of not being a GBMB employee in 12 years. The longest I was ever at a job. I pray that God would show me how to go forward. And then I did some bullet points. Lord, show me the right opportunities to earn a good income that meets our needs. Show me opportunities to serve and preach. Strengthen me to not get discouraged. Strength to not follow the flesh. To keep growing spiritually and focus on finishing well. While I'm writing this, the Holy Spirit reminds me of a verse, and I go and look it up in my Bible and I write it down right here. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Whew, yeah, that's right. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Man, the day that I'm sitting at home, for the first day I wasn't going to work, and I'm just thinking, God, what are you going to do? And the Holy Spirit says, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Go check it out. Go read it again. And so I wrote it in here because I, and I'm telling you, for probably months, I kept going back and reading that again and again and again. And I kept saying, okay, God, I will be humble. I will be unemployed humble before you. And I'll cast all those cares on you because I know you care for me. A couple of weeks later, He spoke to me through a couple other verses. He reminded me of Jesus because by this time, a couple of weeks later, I'm thinking, okay, God, you know, we're impatient, right? Where's my new job? And I'm wondering about that. And He reminds me of Jesus the night before He went to the cross. And He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane about something He did not want to do. And He says, Father, let this cup pass from me. And then that next word, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then He reminded me of over in Luke, where they were fishing, Luke 5:5. They had fished all night and the Lord shows up and, did you catch anything? And they're like, no. And He says, well, cast your net on the other side. And Luke says, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We have cast this net 100 times. But nevertheless, at your request, we will cast it on the other side. And they cast it over on the other side. They could hardly pull that net to shore. It was so full of fish. And so I wrote here, God, give me the grace and obedience needed to be a nevertheless believer like Christ when He faced the cross. We'll never face what Christ faced, but we face challenges in our life. And we've got to let His Word speak to us in those difficult days. And as we listen and as we obey, we'll experience God. I could tell you so many wonderful stories since that time that I was waiting on the Lord. So many wonderful stories. God speaks through the Bible. Not only that, God speaks through prayer. And you got to get this, prayer is not a religious activity. It's a two-way fellowship. It's a communion with God. And speaking about communion, shameless plug here, next Sunday night, we're going to have a candlelight communion service here at 6 p.m. I encourage you to be here for that because it's going to bless your heart. It always gets to me when we tag communion services onto the end of a regular service in 10 minutes, take the bread, take the cup, thank you, Lord, go home. I just felt really drawn. I felt like, again, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and saying, let's do something special. So that'll be next Sunday evening, 6 p.m., candlelight communion. It's going to be very special. And come and enjoy that opportunity to worship. But prayer is not a religious activity. It's a fellowship. It's a communion with God. Let me ask you this question. If your personal prayer life is more of a one-way is your personal prayer life more of a one-way conversation of you talking to God? Is it? For most people, I would imagine they could say, yeah, probably so. But here's the thing, that a part of our prayer life should be more than that. Prayer should include listening as well. Listening. It's like, I don't know how it works for you. I can just say how it works for me. A lot of times I'm spending prayer in the morning or I'm driving somewhere or something. And as I'm praying, the Lord will bring a verse to mind. And when I get to where I'm going or if I'm in my office, I'll stop and I'll open that up and I'll read that. And while I'm reading that, it's God's word. It's Him speaking to me. We gotta do more than just talk. We got to listen. That's a two-way conversation. That's what God wants to have with us. And a lot of times, I would say God speaks to my heart more during my prayer time than any other time of day. Other times of day, I'm working. I'm focused on stuff. I'm trying to get things done. But it's that quiet communion with God alone, just me and Him alone. Every day is when He speaks the most. And I mean, a lot of times I'm taking notes. I'm writing it down. I don't want to forget what He's saying. He speaks to me a lot about this church. He speaks to me about the messages to bring. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to have that time in your life to spend alone with God and to not just do a bunch of talking, but try to do some listening. It's a beautiful thing. God speaks through prayer. God promises to answer prayer. Matthew 7:8 says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." For everyone that asks receives, that seeks will find, that knocks it'll be opened. You say, well, I've been praying this prayer for so long, and He's not answered it. Or there's been prayers He hadn't answered. He probably answered it. You probably just wasn't listening. You were waiting for your answer, not His. That's the trap we get into. We're waiting for our answer. God, I'm praying to You. Will You do this for me? Let me know when you're ready to do this for me, because I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to get, let's go, God. And sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to do that. And it totally goes right past you. But He answers. He promises to answer. When you pray, you need to be anticipating God's activity in your prayers. Because He might be answering, you're not even hearing Him. You're not even paying attention or listening. Let me give you three keys that'll help you to do that, to help you to receive God's answers to your prayers. Here's three keys. One, be watching for how God's going to answer. Be watching. God may present things that are not part of your normal life. And if you're not watching for them, you may dismiss them or think it's a distraction. Or you might think it's an inconvenience. For example, when someone knocks on your door. Maybe you've been praying to be a better witness and all of a sudden you get a knock at the door. And you look outside and it's the AT&T salesman trying to get you on fiber, or it's a Jehovah's Witness. And you and your wife or husband or kids, or y'all are going, are they gone yet? Are they gone? You just been praying, ask the Lord to let you witness. Man, open that door up and witness. Let that inconvenience become something amazing for you. Give them a little Jesus. That's what they need. I mean, anytime somebody comes and knocks at your door, they're saying, please witness to me. And you need to take advantage of that. We can't see that as an inconvenience. You can't worry, well, I don't know what to say. Yes, that's what the Bible says. Preach, sister. God will give you the words to say at the moment that you need them. If you trust him, he'll do that. If you don't trust him, he never will, because you'll never open the door. Open that door. Be watching for how God's going to answer. Be ready to adjust your life to what God's doing. If God interrupts your day, make time for the interruption. Or if you're praying in one direction and you see God working in another direction, change your direction. Just change it. I remember one time when I worked at Bell South, one of the guys come to me, and he had been asking me spiritual questions. He come to me one day, and he says, would you go to lunch with me? I just have so many questions for you. And I had a busy day, and immediately I thought, if I go to lunch with him, it's going to be a sit-down restaurant. He's going to talk forever. It'll last 2 hours, then I'm going to be late coming home. And normally I'd leave at 3 to beat the traffic, and I'm like, I'm going to end up leaving at 5. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. You know, I've learned that lesson. Let's do this. And man, we went to lunch, and it was a 2-hour conversation, and I did work late, but I'm going to tell you the joy I felt in my heart to talk to a non-believer and be able to answer questions for them that was troubling their mind. Let God interrupt you. Let him interrupt you. And know what to do when God's silent. This is the hardest part. You need to realize that if he's silent, he's about to do something in your life to show you how great he is. And we'll see that in a little bit in Moses' story. But he wants to show you, he wants to you to realize something deeper. He wants to give you more knowledge of who he is. And so he's asking you to wait while he's preparing you for that revelation. Henry Blackaby said this: sometimes his silence is designed to bring me into a state of absolute dependence and trust on him. That's how it was January 1st, 2021 for me. He had to bring me into a state of absolute trust and dependence on him. And sometimes he has to do that for us before he can answer our prayers. And here's one little note I want to just point out. Sometimes God's silent because there's sin in your life. So if you got pet sins in your life and you're waiting for God to answer and he's not answering, you're going, oh, he's going to show me something great. No, he's telling you, get the sin out of your life. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, Isaiah says. His arm is not too short that he can't save you, but your sins has separated you from him. He can't respond to your prayers when you're enjoying a life of sin. So be aware of that. God speaks through the church. You know, the church is called the body of Christ, of which every one of you, when you received Christ, you became a member of the body of Christ. Now, I don't have time to get into it today, but if you have the notes, it has all the scripture references. You can go home and study this, but I want to give you 5 quick bullet points about the body of Christ. The church is a body, and the head of the body is Christ. Jesus is the head, the church, the believers is the body. Every member is placed in the body as it pleases God. Every member is needed and important to the body. I'm talking about everybody in here that's a believer, or y'all listen to me. You're a part of this body. Every member is necessary for the church to experience the fullness of Christ. And God has fitted us together, and there should be no divisions or splits among us. We need to get a hold of that. We need to understand that we're a part of this body. We cannot fully experience God's activity or know the will of God apart from the church body, because we're a part of the church body, and it all intertwines. And I want to give you some thoughts about that. Here's what I'm saying to you. Let's say that let's say that you're the eye. Without the eye, the hand doesn't know where to touch, right? Because it can't see. The hand can't see, the eye sees, but the hand touches. Without the foot, the eye cannot reach what is seen ahead. The feet's got to get them there. Every member needs to be listening to what other members are saying. How do I relate to this body of believers? If the members are not working together, the whole body's in trouble. And you know, that's where we're at in this transitional journey. We're learning how to listen to each other, how to understand we're a body of believers, how to understand we all have an important place in this body. And the more people that get involved in the ministry of this church, especially when we start going out to the communities, and we will be doing that, especially then, the more people involved, the more God's going to bless this church. You know, I'll tell you this, the more you get involved in your church, the more likely you are to invite people to your church. People that are doing nothing in the church, they probably never bring anybody to church. But you get involved in a ministry, you get excited, you start seeing what God's doing, you'll get so excited, you'll be telling everybody, you got to come see what I'm seeing. You got to come be a part of my church. And people, when the body is functioning healthy, when everybody's involved, when everybody's doing their part, I mean, it produces something. And so God speaks through the church. But here's where I really want to spend time. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through the church. And lastly, God speaks through circumstances. Because I just feel like as I was preparing this, I thought, I want to save this for last because I know everybody has circumstances. I think this will really speak to our hearts today. And we got to start by remembering why God speaks, to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways, and to bring us into a close love relationship with him. And you know, to do that, sometimes he uses the circumstances of our life. Ultimately, he wants to reveal himself to you, and he wants you to become closer to him. And sometimes hard challenges and circumstances is going to accomplish that in a way that we can't understand, but God does. And so, do you ever ask this question, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I do. I say, God, are you kidding me right now? I'm going to tell you. Last Wednesday night, we had two great prayer meetings. By the way, another shameless plug. If you don't come to the prayer meeting, we have one on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. And they're the most important meetings of the week, more important than this. Because that's where we're communing with the Father and talking directly to him. So if you don't come, you come and be a part of that. And it'll bless your socks off, as they say. But after I get out of the prayer meeting, it had been a busy week. A lot of meetings last week for me. And I'm trying to prepare a message and I'm trying to work on other things that God's given me to accomplish and everything. And it was just such a busy week. And it just feels like when I get through Wednesday, it's kind of like, okay, I'm over the hill. Now I can go home. Next couple of days, I can just focus on the message. I can just focus on the Lord a little while. So I have a text from my wife. And she says, well, hope you had a good meeting, something like that. I'm like, okay, that didn't, when she starts it like that, I got to look out. Hope you had a good meeting. By the way, your mother's in the hospital, and Michael, our youngest son who lives at home, his car's broken down at Walmart. Love you. Like, thank you. Love you too, sweetheart. And so the next 2 days was spent morning in the hospital, afternoon car repairs in the Walmart parking lot, Friday morning in the hospital. And I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? You know how busy I am this week. But he got me through it. And he always gets us through it. Here's the thing. Circumstances need the right perspective. They need the right perspective. We cannot know the truth of our circumstances until we've heard from God. We can't know the truth until we've heard from God. You know, Moses faced difficult circumstances. And I want you to turn with me right now to Exodus chapter 5. Because all these will not be on the screen. But I want to just walk you through what Moses, a little bit of Moses' experience, and I want you to feel what he was feeling about his circumstances. And so what we see in Exodus 5, the first thing we see in verse 1, Moses did as God instructed him, asking Pharaoh to let Israel go. That's what God brought him there to do. Listen to verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." So there, he did what God told him to do. And he was probably expecting God to make Pharaoh say, "Oh, okay, Moses, I'll let your people go." Listen to what Pharaoh says. And Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Forget it, Moses, get out. Basically what he was saying. And then we see that in response, Pharaoh not only refuses to let them go, but he adds hardships to them. Look at verse 6 and 8. "So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" Make it hard. They're too idle. They need more work. Give them more work. And that's what he did. And then the Israelites turn against Moses for causing them so much trouble. What happens is after they hear the word, some of the Israeli leaders go to Pharaoh and say, "What are you doing to us?" And he repeated to them what he told the taskmaster. "Hey, you guys aren't busy enough because you're wanting to go take the gallivant off into the wilderness to worship some god. I don't even know who he is. I'm just going to make you work harder so you'll forget that thought." And then when they come out, Moses and Aaron is standing there. Listen to what they say to Moses. So it says in verse 20, "Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, 'Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you've made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us.'" They're blaming Moses for what was going on. And then what does Moses do? He turns and accuses God of not keeping his promise. Look at verse 22. "So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all.'" He is accusing God of not doing what he promise to do. And so that was a difficult circumstance. Moses living a life of obedience to God. He left his family back in the desert. He left the sheep behind. He comes back to Egypt. He risks his life to do that. He stands before Pharaoh and he does what God tells him to do. And for all of that obedience, Pharaoh says, "Get out and I'm going to make y'all work harder." And then Israelite come to Moses and fusses him out for it. And he's just like, "God, what are you doing to me?" Like that question, right? Why is this happening to me? Why? And I guess he had a right to ask that. But here's the thing. He didn't have the right perspective. Here's what you got to understand. When you're in the midst of those difficult circumstances, that is not when you decide who God is. Do you hear me? That's not when you decide what God can and cannot do. That's not when you decide what you believe about God, when you're in the midst of those circumstances. So God comes to Moses and God gives Moses a right perspective to think about. In chapter 6, the first thing we see is God reminds Moses who he is. Look at verse 6, the beginning of verse 6. "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I am." And then he follows that up with seven I wills. Look at that as we read on. It says, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. And then as an exclamation point, he says, I am the Lord. I am. Whatever your circumstance is today, that's how you need to see God. He's the Lord. He can do anything he wants to do. He loves you. He knows what you're going through. He might be doing it for your good. In this case, he was doing it for the good of Israel. He was having to let them suffer a few pains, but ultimately he was going to do everything he said. I will do it. You just hang on. You just hang on. When you feel like you're at the end of your rope, you just remember that he is the Lord, and you just hang on to that rope. You just don't give up believing and trusting that God can do anything that he, and if he says he'll do it, he'll do it. If he makes a promise, he'll keep it. God gave Moses the right perspective, but you know what's so sad? Even with all of that God shared with Moses, Moses was still so discouraged, he was ready to give up. Look at verse 12. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. You know what he's saying there? God, nobody's listening. Get somebody else. Pharaoh's not listening to me. Children of Israel's not listening to me. I just want to give up. You ever been there? I've been there multiple times. And I look back on it now, and I was thinking yesterday, and I won't go into it, it's a long story, but I was thinking yesterday of a very difficult time in my life that in the ministry I was ready to give up. And then I can see hindsight, right? At the time, I was so broken. I was distraught. I didn't understand what God, why are you doing this to me, God? Nobody's listening to me. But then God began to work. And now it's many years later, and I look back and I say, oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did. You're such an awesome God. You're such a mighty God. I have more faith in you than I ever had. You know why? Because he wanted to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways to me. And he wanted me to come into a deeper love relationship with him. And it worked. It worked. And you got to go through some hard times to let God do what he wants to do. He wants to mold you and he wants to shape you. And sometimes there's rough edges he needs to knock off. Sometimes there's things in your life that are getting in the way of you and him that he needs to get rid of. He needs to just work on you and take some things away so that there's less between you and him. Why? Because ultimately he loves you. And if he sees anything that's standing in the way of that, he wants to get rid of it. And he'll work through circumstances to do that. Sometimes to get our attention. Sometimes to show us how great he is. Moses faced difficult circumstances. And you know what? In those difficult circumstances, God's perspective is vital. Doesn't matter what we think. Doesn't matter if we question God. Doesn't matter what we think about God. That's not important. What's important is God's perspective. We're all going to face difficult circumstances. I mean, many of you here have had plenty of them, I'm sure. And without God's perspective, you know what happens? We'll have a distorted view of who God is. We'll have a distorted view. We'll say, God, you must not love me. Or we'll say, God, you're not fair. And in the midst of those circumstances, if we're not realizing God's perspective instead of our perspective, we'll blame him. We'll accuse him. Many people have walked away from God because the circumstances got tough and they didn't have enough faith to trust that he was the Lord. He was. We have to have God's perspective. So what to do? I'm going to give you 6 quick points. What to do when circumstances are confusing. When you're not sure where it's going, why you're in it, what God's doing. Real quick. 1, settle your mind that God has forever demonstrated his love for you on the cross. Every time you don't know what God's doing, go to the cross. Every time you think he doesn't love you, think of the cross. Every time you're unsure about has he forgotten you, you think of the cross. He paid the ultimate price. He forever demonstrated his unfailing love for us on the cross. Number two, do not try to understand what God is like from the middle of the circumstances. That's what we just talked about. Because you'll say, God, you're not fair. God, what are you doing? God, have you forgotten me? Don't try to understand God from the middle of the circumstances. Go to God and ask him to help you see his perspective on the situation. Go to prayer. Go to the Word. Let the Holy Spirit speak. God, I need you to show me something here. God, I need you to strengthen me here. I need something today, Lord, and I need you to get... I'm going to tell you, I know the last 2 weeks, there's been days that it was challenging for me, and I would just go to God in prayer and say, God, I need something before the end of the day. I'm drowned in here. Help me, Lord. You know what I'm going through. And he'd lift it. He'd lift it. He'd lift those burdens and those cares, and he'd remind me who he was. I'm the Lord, Barry. I got you. I got you. Number four, wait on the Holy Spirit to give you understanding of what God's doing. That's the hardest thing, is to wait. But sometimes you just have to wait. You can't control everything. And you just have to pray, and you just have to just commune with God, get in his word, and wait for him to make his next move so that you can understand what he's doing. Hey, a wait can be a long time. A wait can be a couple of years. A wait can be a week, it can be a month, but you just have to wait. Number five, adjust your life to God and what you see him doing in your circumstances. Now that's hard. He'll reveal to you and he'll say, now I need you to do this. You want to keep walking with me? I need you to do this. And you have to make a decision to adjust. And number six, do all that he tells you to do. And in due time, you'll experience God working in and through you to accomplish his purpose and plan. See, that last part, a lot of us don't get as believers. We don't get that God has a purpose and a plan that you're supposed to be working in. Too many even believers, especially, and obviously non-believers, they think that it's all about them. Their prayers are all about them. They're looking for God to give them the best. When he doesn't give them the best, they start questioning God. God, why are you doing this to me? But the fact of the matter is, if we could ever align ourselves with God, if we could ever understand that we're eternal beings. Listen, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I become an eternal being that belongs in heaven. I became a child of the King. He adopted me into his family. And what we understand now as life is a button on a string. I mean, you think about that. If you had a string that went forever that way and forever that way, and there's a button right here on it, that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in comparison to eternity. There's so much more waiting on us, and all God's doing is saying, hey, I kind of got you in this place of testing, this place of growth, and I just want you to know I love you, and I want the best for you, and I want you growing and maturing in your faith, and I want you to help me accomplish my purposes and my plans. That's why you're here on this earth. That's why when you got saved, I left you. I got work for you to do. If we ever could get a hold of that, God could revolutionize our lives. Here's the bottom line. In the midst of difficult circumstances, it's two words, trust God. If you're going through difficult circumstances today, trust God. Just trust God. God's sovereign and he loves you. He's not out to hurt you in any way. So you got to just trust God to give you the grace you need in the circumstances you're in. And he'll bring you through them one day. And you know what happens when he brings you through them? You're going to have a testimony. You're going to be able to encourage other people. You're going to know God like you didn't know him before. You're going to love him more. You're going to understand him better. You're going to know more about his purposes, his plans, his ways. And it's all when we get into this crucible of circumstances, what we decide to do and how we decide to think about God is truly going to set the future direction of our lives. And God wants you drawn close to Him. So it's time to respond. And just to remind you what we're talking about today, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances. And why does He do that? Because He wants to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways to you, every individual here. And He wants us to know Him in a real and personal way. So with that thought in mind, I want to ask you this question. God is speaking. God is speaking, but are we listening? Listen to this verse in Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God's saying, I'm speaking. Are you listening? And then the other question I want to ask is, the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Right now. Listen to this again in Isaiah 55, just a couple of verses later. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for He'll abundantly pardon. So I believe God's speaking to some right now. And what He's saying is, seek me right now. You hear me speaking right now. Respond right now. While you know that I'm speaking, while you're hearing me, the conviction in our heart, sometimes your heart will pound because you know there's something not right in your life. And God's speaking to you right now, and He's saying, you need to get it right. I want to love you. I want you to know me. I want to bless you, but you need to get it right. Is He speaking to you today about something that's a barrier between you and Him? Is He speaking to you today about accepting Jesus Christ for the first time in your life as your Lord and Savior? That would be a barrier if you've never received Christ. You're not going to hear God speak. And so He says, respond now. You know, I've said it before, and it's worth saying again today, that if you're under conviction, if you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you just grip that pew and you hang on and you say, I'll do it next week. So many people think they have a next week. I'll go next week, Lord. And then you'll go out of here. You'll be under conviction in here, but you'll go out of here and you'll get out them doors and get your car and you'll go, I dodged that bullet. And that'll subside. That conviction will subside, that drawing of the Holy Spirit will subside, but you never know if you're not driving off into your eternity. But God's speaking right here, right now. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. That's what these prayer benches and these steps are for. Make them an altar and come and pray and surrender whatever you need to surrender. Or if you're in a circumstance today you don't understand, come and say, God, I need grace to see me through. And He says that if we ask, He'll give abundantly. So as they sing, however God is speaking to your heart, I invite you to respond this morning. Would you stand? Let's sing together.
Could not climb in desperation. you could join us online this morning. We would love to see you here in person next time on Sundays at 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. And on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., we have our English classes, prayer meeting, children and youth ministry. And we would love to see you here for that. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao.